It's Cookie Lab.
Hi, and welcome to Cookie Lab. I'm Jill.
And I'm Chris. And it is the last Monday in March.
Going out like a lamb.
Yes, I can't wait for the rest of spring to begin. We have made it through
pretty much the lamest winter ever.
I was thinking more of moving our clocks ahead and St. Patrick's Day and the equinox. All of these things have happened this month.
It's been busy.
It's been a very busy month. And it always has seemed to me to be the longest month of the year.
Yeah, it is. It's 31 days long with no like school vacation.
No holidays. Yeah. And I am back to work coaching, and you are very...
Back to work carpooling.
Back to work carpooling. So, and yet, the lab is busy.
Oh, yes.
What have you concocted this week for us?
Well, a few weeks ago, you may recall, I don't remember which episode this was.
I do remember.
I threatened you with a mayonnaise cookie, yeah. And I've done it. And it's not, you're going to like it. You're going to like it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I had never heard of a mayonnaise cookie, but I assumed it would be possible because of the mayonnaise cake. Are you familiar with the mayonnaise cake?
Nope.
Okay. So there's a long-standing chocolate cake made with mayonnaise that has multiple origin myths.
Oh.
Some people say it first started having to do with like World War II rationing, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me because eggs are part of mayonnaise.
Yes.
So like, I'm not really, you'll read this over and over again. Like, oh, it came from, you know, when things like sugar and butter were rationed. Well,
I can imagine that, you know, sugar and butter were rationed. So some days you had butter. Sometimes you had mayonnaise, like it was what was available.
Right. So that's possible. Another possibility is that the Hellman's Mayonnaise Company was promoting like the wife of a Hellman's, you know, salesperson or something like that had concocted a chocolate cake with mayonnaise, perhaps as a
marketing.
But there are recipes of non-chocolate cakes, like a spice kind of cake going back to 1937. Spice nut cake using mayo in the American Century Cookbook. The chocolate one is either affiliated with the Hellman's, or there's one of these myths that we've heard before with like the Neiman Marcus chocolate chip cookie.
Yes.
Coming from supposedly the Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
Sure.
Where in New York City, where a lady asked for the recipe, the chef refused. She went back with $100 and he gave it to her. This was then spread around in the pre-internet way that things used to spread around and appeared in cooking columns and newspapers. And the Waldorf Astoria was like, this would never happen. We would never charge, you know, a lady $100 like that. So I think it's just complete bunk.
But it makes for a great story.
Yeah.
And apparently a cake that people like.
Yes, because it makes sense. I mean, eggs and oil are things. I mean, that's how you make brownies, right? I mean, it's...
And cake. And yeah, cake, sure.
Maybe not. Yeah, I guess you put oil in some cakes. Yeah. So it's not crazy at all. But people think of mayonnaise, they think of like a... You know,
well, you
tuna fish or a deli meat sandwich.
There's always a vinegar or a mustard in mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. So I think that special tanginess, again, is what, you know, and I say again, because our last episode was all about
tanginess. Right, we were talking about like fermented dairy things. Yeah. So I did some searching for cookies. There were a couple chocolate cookies. There was multiple basic like sugar cookie kind of cookies. And I thought, I'll just do this as a baseline. Then that's when things got crazy because also that week, it was just last week, I was experimenting with a appetizer that someone served me at their home called musubu, which is like a deconstructed sushi using Spam and Japanese mayonnaise and sushi rice.
Oh, well, that sounds like almost Hawaiian.
Yes, like that. So this thing was so good, I had to try it. I set about acquiring the ingredients, and the Japanese mayonnaise at my grocery store said it was yuzu mayonnaise, Y-U-Z-U.
You found it at your grocery store?
I found it right here at our grocery store in our town.
In our little town?
Yeah.
Wow.
Japanese mayonnaise. And the yuzu is a fruit. It's a citrus fruit like a lemon or a clementine.
Okay, that makes sense.
And they use that in the mayonnaise as, you know, the vinegar, I think. Like, it's the juice.
It's the acid. Well,
so Japanese mayonnaise in general is different than regular, what I would call regular because I'm not from Japan. So let's call it Western mayonnaise, right? Our mayonnaise is basically eggs and oil and like emulsifiers and maybe some vinegar. The Japanese mayonnaise is sweeter and more acidic. It contains either rice or cider vinegar rather than our white vinegar. And it's richer because they use only egg yolks, not whole eggs. Okay. And then in this particular case, they're using the yuzu, which as I said, it's a citrus fruit believed to have originated in China. It's kind of like a clementine, but it can be yellow or green, and it has a ton of flavor, which I found out because I made that appetizer for my family, and just like when my friends Karen and Maggie made it for me, it was fantastic. Shout out. And then I had, you know, the mayonnaise left over, and I thought, well, this is Japanese mayonnaise, and it's supposed to be rich, and I bet it would be great in a cookie. So I go to make the cookie, just using a basic kind of sugar cookie type recipe that I found on a website called...
Can I jump in on the Japanese mayonnaise?
Yes, it was called Cupcakes and Cutlery. Please go ahead.
As you have alluded to, there are many different types of Japanese mayonnaise that I have found in my very quick Google of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most popular in Japan is called Kewpie.
Kewpie is like their baseline Japanese mayo.
And it was designed to be a health food.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Again,
that's not usually how we think of
dealing
mayonnaise.
With yeah. a healthy cookie.
It's obviously. So healthy.
Yeah, the Kewpie founder traveled to the United Kingdom and the United States as an overseas intern for what was at that time the Japan Department of Agriculture and Commerce. And he was fascinated by the flavor of orange marmalade and the nutritional value of mayonnaise.
Hey, the guy's got good sense.
Yeah, so he combined the two to design a delicious, nutritious mayonnaise so widely available that it becomes a daily necessity.
Oh.
It sounds like a very different culture than ours. But
I know, mayo really turns some people off. I really like it. There's also the whole like Miracle Whip, you know, villainry, rivalry between them.
Yeah.
And there is a Miracle Whip cake recipe out there as well, because, you know, got to do something for those Miracle Whip people.
Because it's got to be different. Yeah. Okay.
So... Along comes time, the time that I've allotted for baking, and I don't have any all-purpose gluten-free flour.
Sure, right.
So I decided to use gluten-free oat flour rather than either go to the store or wait until the next time I went to the store.
It's similar in texture, and it's usually part of a blend.
Yeah, I mean, and I also have rice flour. This could have gone in any direction. Yeah,
but rice flour is grainier. It's...
Well, so I found the result to be kind of a little bit grainy along the lines of a digestive, which is something that I also had hoped to make this year and also reminds me of my trips to Ireland. So my two, I know we're a week out, but my St. Patrick's Day references are Mayo, as in County Mayo, yeah. And the digestive effect of this cookie. So you can see the cookie. It turned out it's a blonde disc cookie. It has some crackles, kind of like an oatmeal cookie would.
And by the way, it looks exactly like the picture that you sent me from
that. Cupcakes and Cutlery. But I really feel like I invented this because I used yuzu mayonnaise and oat flour instead. I feel like this is my first
totally different
original. And so...
So did you have to add anything to the oat flour?
I just added xanthan gum just in case.
Yeah. I think you probably had to.
I don't know if that did anything or not.
We did an experiment to see what happens if we didn't.
And then with the flavor, my friend Maureen, who has been on our show with her, I believe she had an oatmeal spice cookie.
Perhaps.
And she said, do you think we should put some lemon zest in it or lemon juice in it? And I was rummaging in my fridge and I came up with half a lemon. And then she said, you know what? No, let's just, and this is what I always want to do too, like baseline it. Let's see. Well, I'm glad we did because... It tastes like a lemon cookie.
Get out.
Just from the yuzu mayonnaise. So I present to you my very first invented, I don't know how much credit I can, you know, say that I completely invented it. I also left out the vanilla that the gal called for just because I just want our listeners to know that you can be a complete scatterbrain like me and forget things entirely and substitute things entirely and still get what I consider to be a pretty great cookie. I want you to try it.
Yeah. I do that frequently when I'm making banana bread. I have a banana bread recipe.
Uh-huh.
And I've done this at least 3 times. It calls for a whole lot of butter melted.
Uh-huh.
So I melt that butter in the microwave.
Uh-huh.
And then I forget about it.
Oh, no.
And I never put it in.
And it's okay.
And it's great.
Well, there's no vanilla flavor in this cookie, but I think the yuzu does a great job. So give it a try.
All right, let's taste it. It's got some sugar on the outside.
Yes, I put a little green and a little yellow sanding sugar to kind of emphasize the citrus flavor. And you can't even tell that there's color.
It looks like a peanut butter cookie.
A little bit. Yeah. But taste it, because it doesn't taste like a peanut butter cookie.
Okay. Mm.
Can you believe it? Yuzu mayonnaise.
Wow. As soon as it touched my tongue, I got that citrus tang. And
it's a little crumbly.
Listeners, one of the things that we talk about with cookies is the Maillard effect on the bottom.
Lovely browning on the bottom.
Browning. And this has a distinctive layer that is absolutely beautiful, and then a light, bubbly layer on top of it. It's like a crisp cookie on the bottom and a nice chewy top.
I'm so proud.
Yeah, this is a fantastic cookie. I highly recommend it. It gets the 3 out of 3 on the Cookie Lab paws up.
4 paws up.
I'm laying on my back in absolute delight with all my paws up. I would definitely say, keep your paws off my cookie. So much better than a digestive, which I don't really like.
Oh, I love a digestive.
What a treat.
Yes.
Nice.
Everybody should run out and get some yuzu mayonnaise and make this.
No changes.
Oh, I'm curious about what it would be like with AP flour.
I'm going to say it would be different.
I think it would. You're going with this one.
I wouldn't change it.
Okay. This is it.
We got to type up this recipe.
Yes. No problem. I can do it.
So that we are able to share it. 2 weeks.
By the time you hear this, it will already be on the Facebook group.
Well, all the cookies will already be gone. Tochiro Nakashima.
Is he the guy we have to thank for the Kewpie Mayo?
Inventor of the Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah.
Would be so proud of you.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yes. He would say, domo arigato, Jilly-san.
Thank you.
I do have a little science.
I was hoping so.
About mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits in regardless of whether you're eating a Japanese mayo, a Miracle Whip, or your regular Hellman's,
mm-hmm.
or any other version of mayonnaise.
And I guess
even one that you've made at home.
I was just going to say, it's a bit of a thing to make your own, right?
Yeah.
Like a trend is what I'm saying.
Yeah, one of those things that came out of COVID. Where
if you have the homemade, that probably isn't going to last for like a year in your fridge the way I have the Hellman's in there.
It should.
Really, last. You think? Oh, because I was going to say that might be these cookies might be a good thing to do to like just use it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It lasts a long time.
Because of the vinegar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a great debate on where mayonnaise originated.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm going to say France.
Yes, France.
The source of all good food.
It's thought to have originated, but unsure, in France in the 18th century. And so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but it became popular in the United States in the 19th century.
Okay, so that's 1800s.
Yes,
okay,
exactly. Probably around the end of the 1800s, mm-hmm. when refrigeration.
Mm-hmm.
It is made from, always, oil, egg yolks, and vinegar.
Not the whole egg?
It always contains at least those things.
Okay.
So there are lots of different recipes.
Okay.
But you always have oil, egg yolk, and some acid of some sort.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of oil were people using a long time ago?
Maybe some lards,
okay.
Rendered oils, or I don't know when corn oil or
vegetable
oil came around, but I'm pretty sure that
certainly there
for
was
a long
olive oil.
Time, yeah, olive oil's been around forever.
Yeah.
So we can look that up and get back to our listeners if they write into us and ask. But here we get down to the chemistry. It's one of our favorites, Jill. chemical reaction that creates mayonnaise is called emulsification.
It's an emulsifier.
And that's a process of combining two substances that don't normally mix, like oil and water.
So like when you have your carafe of salad dressing, you have to shake it.
Oil and vinegar.
Because it's just like two separate things.
And vinegar is mostly water, right? So if we're putting in a lemon juice, if we're putting in vinegar, it's mostly water. So we have to get those together sometimes. And also emulsions are specific types of colloids.
It's like a subset of the colloid?
It is a liquid on liquid colloid. So tiny liquid droplets suspended in another liquid.
Liquid on liquid.
Yeah. So you can have a solid colloid.
Fabulous.
You can have like mud, dirt, and water, you know, and make a colloid of that.
Sure.
But it will usually separate. And we don't want our mayonnaise to separate.
No, we don't.
So in order to make mayonnaise, we take the egg yolks, which must first be beaten. And this creates...
Bad yolks.
No, not insulted, not chastised,
okay.
but whisked.
Well, physical violence is never the answer, except when you're making mayonnaise.
This is the base for mayonnaise. And then you always have to slowly add your oil. Do you know why?
You're going to have to tell me.
Well, what you want to do is form tiny droplets. So you're whisking and whisking and whisking, and you're trying to make as small droplets as possible of the oil and the vinegar.
To give like more surface area?
So that the egg can coat each individual droplet.
Okay.
That's what you're trying to do. So you just put in a little bit of
tiny droplets with egg.
Whisk and whisk and whisk, and then you put in a little bit more and you whisk and whisk.
Okay.
Because you want them to remain tiny spheres. And
I'm picturing those like aqua bead toys, tiny spheres that get in people's like floor cracks and make them insane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we have lectin in from the eggs, which we've talked about before. It's a fat that's in the egg yolk. And it has both a hydrophilic and a hydrophobic side to it. So it adheres to these.
There's like a droplets, head and a tail.
And it creates this buffer around it. And it brings the water and the oil together, the lectin. And so you've got these little spheres of oil, these little spheres of water, and you've got lectin surrounding them, and it just binds together.
Okay.
And it creates this beautiful, stable emulsion of egg yolk and oil and vinegar. And it also prevents the oil molecules and the water molecules from seeking out other oil molecules, because if they do that, then it separates.
Okay.
If they find something that they really like,
you'll get like a pocket of it or like a vein of it.
And that's called breaking your emulsification.
Oh, okay.
And you might hear people talk about mayonnaise breaking.
Oh, I had never heard that before.
Yeah, because it forms cracks.
So interesting.
Yeah. And so that is the simplification, actually, of what is happening.
No, it's quite clear. Thank you.
When we make mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And then you take that delicious substance.
And make cookies.
And make delicious cookies.
Yes, so I'm pleased to present this and glad to have all this knowledge.
It's incredible. I can't stop eating it.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's buttery.
Mm-hmm. It does have some
melts
butter
in your mouth. Mm. I could go on and on.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
But people don't want to listen to me eat and talk. So I'm just going to say, Jill, marvelous job. Keep your paws off my cookies.
All right. I'll let you have that one.
just one. And next week.
Something else new.
We are in April.
Yeah, it's going to be April.
I can't wait to see what April brings.
I have no idea. So stay tuned.
Well, neither do I.
We'll have to come up with something.
Okay, I'm sure
our listeners await.
Yeah, if you have a favorite recipe, you can write to us at cookielabpod@gmail.com.
That's it.
And we might feature your cookie.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. It's Cookie Lab.